Welcome to the Backasswords podcast. We are the Backasswords boys. I'm Kyle. I use he, they pronouns. And joining me from our beautiful Colorado studio is Arden.
And I use he, him pronouns.
Tonight, guys, gals, and NB pals, Arden is going to be concluding our multi-part series on the death of Kaylee Anthony and the actions of her mother, Casey Anthony.
And just as a reminder, folks, if for some reason this is your first episode of this series that you're listening to, this is what we call a lollipop episode. It's a little bit extra. It's going to be really heavy. We're going to talk about a lot of difficult things tonight. And so for that reason, please get yourself a sweet treat to munch on afterwards, because you will have definitely earned it after this episode.
Absolutely. And with that being said, guys, tonight's episode is going to get into some topics that might be sensitive for some of our listeners. Talking about the death of Kaylee Anthony and the trial of Casey Anthony means talking about child neglect, child abuse, child sexual abuse, death, and specifically the death of a 2.5-year-old child. We will also be discussing an attempted suicide during tonight's episode. We care about our audience, and we want to make sure that you folks are as safe as possible while listening. So if tonight's episode doesn't work for you, we'll see you next week.
And this is your reminder to always take care of yourselves when consuming media. If you don't know what you're getting into, you might not know how you feel coming out the end of an hour-long podcast. So please take care of yourselves, and we will see you next week. And with that, folks, I would like to list my sources for tonight's episode before we get rolling here. And of course, every time you listen to this podcast, first stop on the research train is our good friend Wikipedia. And I used Wikipedia's pages on the death of Kaylee Anthony and their page on Kaylee's Law, which we will be discussing tonight. I also went back to biography.com and their page on Casey Anthony. I also used criminalbrief.com again, which is the timeline of the Casey Anthony case. Very helpful source. And folks, one of the biggest sources that I have to give credit for to today is a video that I watched on YouTube called The Twisted Mind of Casey Anthony by Eleanor Neal, who is a very successful true crime video essay YouTuber. Phenomenal, phenomenal work on this episode on Casey Anthony and the rest of her channel. There's so much to consume, so highly recommend it. If you like what we do, you'll like what she does.
I actually don't know her. I'll check her out.
She's good.
But you guys, we still are not scholars, and we were probably going to get some things wrong.
Absolutely.
And we are also not linguists. We are probably going to say some things wrong.
And also for this episode, I would like to say that we are not criminologists, nor are we lawyers at all.
No. And I think one more allegedly on the top of this episode as well.
I think that that's fair, honestly, for what we're going to talk about tonight in particular.
And you guys might, yeah, we might finally really see why I've been doing that every episode this week.
Literally, if we are your first exposure to the story of Kaylee Anthony's death, like, first of all, I'm so sorry. But also, yes, this is the episode where you will finally understand why we keep on saying allegedly.
Now, hold on to your asses, because things are about to get backwards. Take us in, Arden.
When we had left off last week, we had told the story of the discovery of Kaylee's body, the Roy Kronk saga, the attempted suicide of George Anthony after Kaylee's body was discovered. We talked about the jury selection process, and now we've arrived at the trial. Last week, we took our time to really go through the car evidence that was present and the decomposition that went along with that. And we really took our time with that because that's something that's really important to me in this case as the person who's doing this series. But also, I feel like it is something that is so crucial to the case, which is why we discussed it for so long. We will not be talking about the car to that extent again tonight, nor are we really getting into any super one detail for this, because really it all just speaks for itself and you'll see why. This is the final part of our Casey Anthony series that we will be releasing on the Backasswords podcast. and we're going to wrap up our discussion of the trial and the aftermath of this trial. This trial, again, was absolutely crazy, and again, an absolute media frenzy. In case you had forgotten at this point, the prosecution was seeking the death penalty for Casey Anthony. However, Jose Baez, Casey Anthony's lawyer, had thrown a huge wrench into this by telling a completely different story of what had happened to Casey's daughter, Kaylee Anthony. Jose Baez said that in Casey's defense, that Kaylee's death had actually been a freak accident caused by her drowning in the family swimming pool, with both Casey Anthony and her father, George Anthony, discovering the body. Furthermore, Jose Baez alleged that George had blown up in Casey's face about this and was complicit in hiding the body and the evidence. Pretty much saying that George, Kaylee's grandfather, had taken the little girl's body, put duct tape over her mouth, stuffed her into a hockey bag, and then dumped that bag about 10 minutes away from his own fucking house that Roy Kronk would later report. Casey Anthony has recounted this moment in retrospect in a semi-recent interview, actually, that I found during my research. So this is Casey's words, what Kyle is about to read to you, all right? She recalled this moment, the moment of her daughter's freak accident pool death, as, quote,
"He was standing there with her. She was soaking wet. He handed her to me. She said it was my fault, that I caused it. But he didn't rush to call 911, and he wasn't trying to resuscitate her. I collapsed with her in my arms. She was heavy and she was cold. He, George, takes her from me and immediately softens his tone and says, 'It's going to be okay.' I wanted to believe him. He took her from me and he went away. During the 31 days, I genuinely believed that Kaylee was still alive. My father kept telling me that she was okay. I had to keep following his instructions. He told me what to do. I tried to act as normal as I could."
Now, I just want to ask you, Kyle, a very, very simple question that I feel like will help our discussion around this. Does that make any sense to you?
You know, Arden's interesting because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, this doesn't really make any sense.
It doesn't.
Because, like, she's making it sound like she wanted to call 911.
Right.
But just didn't. And I'm sure, you know, she's playing the abusive, you know, he was abusive to her whole life. And that obviously has an effect on somebody. But, like, I guess, again, you know, when it comes down to your daughter is dead now.
Mm-hmm.
But then she thinks, where was Kaylee in that 31 days? If she thought that she was alive, where is she?
Well, and that's what she's saying in this quote, is that George misled her and was like, Kaylee's fine for 31 days in a row. Now, this also doesn't make sense from the perspective of George and Cindy, Casey Anthony's parents, recall seeing her and Kaylee leave together and then not seeing them for 31 days.
No, exactly. And, like, then with this story, you listen to that first 911 call.
Yes.
Right? Makes no sense. Yes.
No,
it makes no sense.
You want to know what else doesn't make sense about this? Is that George was literally a fucking cop.
Yeah.
He worked in homicide. You're telling me that an accidental death drowns, your 2.5-year-old granddaughter drowns in the pool, you as a former homicide law enforcement officer, and your response to that is to make it look like a homicide?
Yeah.
What?
And then, like, not finish the story of the homicide, right?
Exactly.
Like, you just make it look like a homicide. Don't plant any evidence. Don't make it look like there was a break-in. Don't make it look like she got kidnapped. Nothing. Just
no.
No.
And of course,
I'm sorry, I don't buy it, dude.
And I say all of this to illustrate that at least the prosecution had some evidence, which we're going to talk about more evidence tonight. This story that Jose Baez was telling to me is just that, a story.
Yeah.
And there is no way to corroborate it. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the episode. So I just want you folks to hang on to that for a minute.
And did George ever testify against this story?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, okay. Repeatedly okay. testified against this story. And okay. one of the things that actually came out during the Casey Anthony trial was that George was so offended by these allegations, all of the allegations, including the sexual assault ones that we talked about mm-hmm. in our last episode, right? And right. so he was super offended, and he was like, this is a fucking joke. I can't believe that I'm here. And so he's a former cop with a chip on his shoulder, all of that good stuff. So he's given Jose Baez some real attitude during this trial. And it kind of worked for him and against him, if I'm being honest with you. Because yeah. there is one thing to say about someone being so vehemently in denial, being like, no, of course I wouldn't do this. That would reassure somebody in some cases, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the flip side of that coin where it's like, he's kind of like smirking at Jose Baez. He's laughing off certain questions. Like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't believe you would say shit like this. I find this to be funny is something that he says during the course of this trial.
Because the things that he is saying, the story that they are telling is so ridiculous.
Correct.
That it's not a ha-ha laugh. It's a ha-ha what the fuck laugh, you know?
Exactly. Like, but now take this into consideration, Kyle. Take this into consideration for a second, for the sake of this discussion. If you remember from part two, the jury selection process for this trial in particular was extremely meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was such a popular story, the trial happens like 2.5-3 years after all of this breaks out, right? And so there's right. not a lot of people who don't know anything about Casey Anthony, but they found 12 people who didn't know anything about Casey Anthony.
They didn't know anything about Casey Anthony.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but also from like the prosecution side of this, they like law enforcement agencies did make sure that the people who were going to be the jury had some sort of like limited access to like newspapers and certain internet right. things and whatnot, and even somewhat putting a hold on communication with their family so as to not be influenced by that aspect mm-hmm. of it as well. So they did somewhat of a due diligence. I can't really speak to the extent because I wasn't there, but they said that they did their due diligence.
Right.
And so you take all of this into consideration. And like Kyle had just mentioned, all of this, this entire story and everything that genuinely had happened up to this point was all justified by the defense with further allegations that George Anthony sexually assaulted Casey from the time that she was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We also didn't mention this in last week's episode when we brought this up, but the defense further claimed that Casey's brother Lee was also sexually assaulting her from a young age. The defense, and trigger warning for what I'm about to say. We're already talking about sexual assault, but trigger warning for this next fucking sentence that I'm about to say, okay? I hate the words that are about to come out of my mouth, but the defense also furthermore claimed that George's motive for killing his granddaughter was because he had sexually assaulted Kaylee.
So we are now moving from she accidentally drowned in the pool and he covered it up to he killed her to cover up his crimes.
Correct. Correct. I was watching a video on this earlier. I didn't list it in my sources because I didn't pull any information from it, which I guess I'm about to quote it right now. But one of the lawyers on this case described this as like George Anthony's role in this trial. They didn't just throw him under the bus. They threw him under the bus, ran him over, and then backed up again to run over him again. Very much like unedited footage of a bear, Kyle.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It is astronomical how much they pinned on George Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
They blamed him. I'm sorry. Can I just say this right now? Here. Okay. This is how we're actually going to have this conversation. We're going to do it right now. I want to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is extremely, extremely important to believe victims when they say that they are victims of abuse.
Yeah.
I think it is extremely important to not reflexively dismiss those things. When someone comes forward and they say stuff like, I've been sexually assaulted, we should not reflexively disbelieve them. However, I will say, in this particular case, with Casey Anthony, with everything that we've talked about and everything that everybody knows about her, I think that she is lying to get herself out of this situation. I think that that is what is happening with all three of those sexual assault allegations. And it is so disappointing. And I hate talking about stuff like this because I know that sometimes when people hear this kind of stuff, that a sexual assault allegation was false, those people who are psychos love to take that and run with it. And now Casey Anthony lying about sexual assault is now the paragon of what is true and what is not, which is not true. Which is not the way that it is. But I do want to distinguish how important it is that we believe victims, but that in this particular case, I will say, subjectively, I do not believe Casey Anthony. I think this is horseshit.
Agreed. Yeah. I don't have anything to add. You kind of nailed it on the head there, dude. We've seen her lie through her teeth constantly through her whole life.
Yes.
Why would we believe anything different right now?
Exactly. I don't care if her lawyer is saying it, you know, in her defense. No. Yeah,
it's a boy who cried wolf kind of situation for me, I think.
Yes, I agree. And I think that we can leave it at that.
Yeah.
And, of course, going along with what we're saying, this, in the defense's eyes, is why she lied to police. All of this. And why she wasn't forthcoming about her daughter's disappearance or her daughter's freak accident. This was a quote-unquote coping mechanism. And since the death of her daughter was so traumatic, she went into a fight-or-flight mode, which manifested in lying over and over and over and over again. Now, like I mentioned, there was additional evidence that the prosecution presented that appeared to damn Casey Anthony even more. One of the first pieces of evidence that they showed was Casey's internet search history. The prosecution had seized Casey's laptop after they charged her with her daughter's murder and found that on June 16th, the day that the prosecution believes Kaylee had been killed or drowned in the pool or whatever the story was, Casey had Googled on that day, suffocation. And then 1 minute later from that Google search, Googled foolproof suffocation. Furthermore, later in the day on June 16th, after she makes those Google searches, a security camera placed Casey Anthony and her boyfriend, Tony Lazzaro, at a Blockbuster picking out a movie with Kaylee Anthony nowhere to be seen. Police have also interviewed the family and friends of Casey Anthony and the Anthony family in regard to this day, asking if Kaylee might have been with anybody else. But she was not with anybody else on that day. But these, unfortunately, were not the only internet searches placed by Casey Anthony in regard to horrifying shit. The Google searches I just listed to you, the suffocation and the foolproof suffocation, those were only on her internet search history on the web browser Firefox. There was also Google searches that Casey did on the web browser Internet Explorer. The prosecution alleged that Casey Anthony had searched chloroform and more specifically how to make chloroform over 80 times. 80 times. To make things even more disturbing in regard to the Internet Explorer search history, there was a one-off Google search that Casey had placed where she searched neck breaking.
I need to know what she had to say.
We will get to that. We will get to that. We are actually going to address that very thing tonight.
What? Uh-huh. The fuck? Because listen. I have Googled some very odd, potentially incriminating things if I did a crime.
Right.
In pursuit of this podcast.
Correct.
I did not Google how to make chloroform 80 times.
Nope. Nope. What? And I'm also not on trial for the murder of my own child. Okay? And I want to be very clear about something here. I want to be very clear about these internet searches. These weren't like accidental Google searches. This wasn't a, oh, I looked up this thing and then I got a bunch of related fucking websites and now I magically stumbled onto pages on how to make chloroform. These internet searches were the type of Google searches that you type on your keyboard and then you hit enter. They found that. That's evidence right there. Shocking. I mean, can I just say off air really quick? Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm going to wait until we hear what she has to say for herself.
Yeah.
Beep. Because who knows? Maybe she's got an explanation.
Maybe she has an explanation.
She got acquitted. Maybe she has an explanation.
Maybe she has an explanation. But before we get to that explanation that Kyle will be anxiously awaiting, this leads us to more prosecution evidence, and it leads us to Casey Anthony's diary, Kyle. This was also evidence that was released as the investigation was going on, so a lot of people already knew about this at the time of the trial, but we haven't mentioned it yet. There was an entry in Casey's diary that was less than a week after Kaylee would have gone missing, quote unquote. Around June 21st is when she wrote this diary entry. And remember that at this point in the timeline, if we go back in time, nobody except Casey Anthony knows that Kaylee Anthony is missing, right? I'm going to have Kyle read this entry from her journal for you, and then we're going to talk about it. There is quite literally nothing that can prepare you for this kind of shit, so we're just going to go ahead and read it. She wrote in her diary, quote,
I have no regrets, just a bit worried. I just want for everything to work out okay. I completely trust my own judgment, and I know that I made the right decision. I just hope that the end justifies the means. I just want to know what the future will hold for me. I guess I will see. This is the happiest that I have been in a very long time. I hope that my happiness will continue to grow. I've made new friends that I really like. I've surrounded myself with good people. I am finally happy. Let's just hope that it doesn't change.
Here's the thing. No matter what story you go with, no matter what fucking story you believe about this circumstance, about Kaylee Anthony's death, this is some of the most fucked up shit I have ever heard in my entire life. Your daughter is either missing, or you know that she's dead, or you killed her. Those are the three scenarios that we're working with.
Yeah. Because she wrote this. She wrote this. Either after she had killed her own daughter, or after her father had either killed her daughter or found her dead daughter and helped cover it up. Or she wrote this after her daughter had been kidnapped by her nanny. And so yep. No matter what story you believe, this is an insanely fucked up journal entry.
Mm-hmm. It is quite reprehensible to me that this is not like hard, cold evidence.
Yeah.
It is so disappointing to me.
That should have put her under the fucking jail. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my actual God. I guess just to kind of speak to something that we've been talking about, particularly in episode one and at the beginning of part two. Everything that Casey has ever said about Kaylee at any point in this process has been so disconnected, so cold, didn't care about all the people trying to find her daughter, the fact that she was going to be on the cover of People magazine so that people could help. Like, nothing that had anything to do with Kaylee was interesting to her or made her cry even or whatever. It's just so obvious to me.
Yeah.
And this, folks, leads us to one more thing that Casey did during the month that her daughter was, again, quote unquote, missing. Casey had gotten a tattoo on her left shoulder. I know we went on a whole tangent about how tattoos don't make you a bad mom, and it's because they don't. No. But this tattoo does appear after the day that Kaylee was quote-unquote missing. The tattoo that she got on her on the back of her left shoulder were the words Bella Vita with some little firework stars around it. And Bella Vita translates to beautiful life. This obviously is upsetting, and for a lot of good reasons.
Yeah.
This led people to believe that Casey was happy that her daughter was missing, or more likely dead, and that this tattoo was a commemoration of that, of being freed from the struggles of young motherhood. You pair that with her diary entry, there's correlation and there's causation, and I feel like I'm seeing both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
I feel like I'm seeing red.
Yeah, same. Fair.
Oh my.
It's just the most depressing shit that you could ever think of. It makes me so sad. I fucking hate this. I hate her. Oh. And now, this is one of the aspects of the story where Tony Lazzaro actually comes into play. And again, this is a little bit of conjecture, but we're going to talk about it because I feel like it's fair to talk about it. So Tony and Casey, Tony Lazzaro and Casey Anthony had only been dating for a short period of time before Kaylee went missing, quote unquote, went missing. And Tony was a club promoter who partied all the time. And again, sort of conjecture, but some people believe that Casey saw this lifestyle, a lifestyle that she had never really had the opportunity to live because she was 20 when she had Kaylee. She was not 21. And seeing this, she loved it and she wanted to be a part of it, and then decided that she should kill her daughter to achieve that. That's just what some people say. All right. And I think it's important to have this discussion here again, or at least mention this aspect of the story again, especially as we're in the conclusion of the series. So Casey had Kaylee when she was 20, and initially when she was pregnant, she wanted to give birth and then give up the baby for adoption. That's what Casey says that she wanted to do at the time. Casey and her defense team, and they did bring this up in the trial as part of Casey's defense, that her mother, Cindy, practically forced her to keep Kaylee. Basically saying that they forced her to be a mother when she wasn't ready. Casey also claims that she did not want to be a mother at this time. But she also says that she did not want to have an abortion. She was like, I want to have the baby and I want to give it to someone else. Again, this is what she says. So this, in turn, basically forcing her to have this baby, put a lot of pressure on Casey, and it caused her to resent her child, to act out, resent her parents. So much so to the point that she kills her, allegedly. And here's the thing about this. For me, again, you should be able to do whatever the hell you want to do with your own body. I feel like that's absolutely fair. You do what you want. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's also your kid. You can still give her up for adoption. You know what I mean? Like, I,
yeah.
Maybe I'm being unfair, and you can leave this in, but like, maybe I'm being unfair here, but like, you have a lot more control of this circumstance than you might imagine that you do. You know what I mean? I get not getting out of your parents' house and your parents always being there, especially when you're this young. Like, I remember being 20 years old. Yeah. And so like, I can kind of sympathize with that element of the story, but she can control a lot more of the situation than she thinks she can. And she has such a wonderful support system too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And it's not like she's working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's going on here? I said it throughout the whole series. I don't understand Casey Anthony at all. As much as I learn about her, I cannot for the life of me understand her.
No. No.
So, and now we're going to circle back around to what Kyle is really excited to talk about that we mentioned earlier with those internet search histories.
Yes.
This is kind of crazy, Kyle. I wonder how you'll feel about this. So, during the trial, the defense, like Jose Baez and Casey Anthony, in a way, during this trial, got Cindy, Casey's mother, to kind of take some of the blame for the chloroform Google searches. So while Cindy was on the witness stand, she was basically like, oh yeah, like those Google searches could have been me because I was out gardening one day and my dog ate something that had chlorophyll in it. And I went to look it up online to see if my dog was going to die or if it was going to poison him or something. And it could have basically brought up things that had to do with chloroform because she typed in chlorophyll.
But didn't we establish that these were searches that were typed into the search bar and searched specifically? This was not related searches.
Correct.
Or autocorrects or whatever. This was, they searched for chloroform.
Correct. And
80 times.
Yes. And even if you were to misspell it once, right? Like let's say that this dog eats this chlorophyll based green in the garden. And then she goes in and she does accidentally type in chloroform. Let's just say, right? There's 79 other instances. What does that mean? In regard to specifically chloroform. So this is like a minuscule defense at best. But the reason that I wanted to mention this here and the reason why this is important to our series and the story that we're telling and the discussion that we're having on the Backassards podcast is because of something that we've been talking about kind of the entire series, which is Cindy Anthony's almost blind following of her daughter, Casey Anthony. This is also evident in something that we haven't yet talked about in this series, and I fucked up on the timeline on this, folks, so I'm really sorry. But we haven't mentioned Kaylee Anthony's funeral, and I thought that this would be a good time to bring this up. Kaylee Anthony's funeral took place around 2 months after Kaylee's remains were found and examined. Over 1,200 people showed up to Kaylee's funeral because it was already a story at this point. It was very much a story at this point. Cindy, Kaylee's grandmother, spoke at the funeral about Kaylee and how wonderful her granddaughter was. But she also made a point to mention her daughter, Casey, who at the time was charged with Kaylee's murder. During her granddaughter's funeral, she said, quote,
"It breaks my heart today that Casey isn't here to honor her daughter, who she loved so much. Casey, I hope you're listening to this. I wish I could comfort you. I wish I could take away your pain and wipe away all of your tears." And she was charged with the murder at this point.
Correct. She was charged with the murder of her daughter when her mother said this.
Sick. That's sick.
And I mean, throughout the entire process, like, both Cindy and George proclaimed their daughter's innocence pretty much throughout the entire process. Mm-hmm. Something that I made a point to not mention last episode because I didn't want to get away from what we were talking about, but it might be more appropriate to talk about it here, is trigger warning. When George Anthony goes to try to kill himself, right? That mm-hmm. suicide note that he wrote. I did learn a little bit more about what was in the suicide note. And from what I gather, most of that suicide note was him being like, I can't live without Kaylee. Everything is so hard. Because this was post her remains being found and her being mm-hmm. and her death being ruled a homicide, right? And you'll remember that I mentioned last week that he did take pictures of like his entire family with him to that hotel room to do what he mm-hmm. was going to do. But he also specifically brought photos of Kaylee.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, in the suicide note, this is so fucking sad. I get a little emotional when I think about this. The last line of the suicide note is him telling Kaylee that he will be there with her soon.
Mm-hmm.
This man was devastated by the death of his granddaughter. And pretty much up until the finger was starting to get pointed at him, he also vehemently was on his daughter's side, along with Cindy. And again, like, it's a very, very tough conversation to have when you put the entire story in its totality into a conversation. I'm flabbergasted at that repeated behavior, you know what I mean, from her parents specifically. And I mean, like, this is evident, like, again, like, her parents, like, when they doubled down on her lie about her graduating high school, making a point to bring her up during the funeral and trying to soften the blow during the trial, specifically from Cindy being like, yeah, maybe one of those could have been me.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And again, back to Cindy taking the blame for a couple of those Google searches. Cindy, at the time that all of those Google searches were entered, she was at work the entire time. They like cross-referenced the Google searches with her work schedule. She did not have access to those web browsers that looked those up. So there's no way it was her. One of the only other things that I want to mention in regard to this trial is something that we mentioned briefly in part one of this series, which was Casey's connection to Jeffrey Hopkins, who she claimed was the person who referred her to Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez, Zanny the Nanny.
Mm-hmm.
be alleged once again that Jeffrey was a co-worker at Universal Studios with her, even though he hadn't worked for Universal Studios since 2002 and Casey hadn't worked at Universal since 2006. But they brought him into the trial because she had mentioned during the police investigation that we talked about in part one and part two that Jeffrey Hopkins referred her to Zanny the Nanny. He was at Casey Anthony's trial. He showed up and he claimed, like, Jeffrey is a real person who got dragged into this because of Casey Anthony's bonko insane lies. And he claimed that he barely knew Casey, had never met or referred anyone by the name of Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez, and further stated that he'd never had any children, despite Casey's claim that Zanny nannied his son, Zach. Once again, demonstrating the extent that Casey would go to lie about this situation. Now, obviously, this trial was a very big trial. But it was also a very long trial that went on for the better part of 2 months, if I'm getting my timeline correct. And short of taking you folks through the entire trial, everything that we just went through is the most relevant evidence that was presented in my estimation. We're not going to be doing a 10-part series on Kaylee Anthony's death. However, if you thought that you were already angry and already frustrated earlier in the series, and especially, again, if this is the first time that you're about to hear this, buckle up. Something that is important to note here for this part of the outline, and this is true of most, if not all, legal practices, is that when someone is accused of something, especially something this severe, the burden of proof rests on the prosecution. And they have to prove what they're saying beyond a reasonable doubt. And that last part is very, very important. Beyond a reasonable doubt. If there is even a sliver of doubt from the jury that says it's possible that Casey Anthony did not do this, it is not beyond a reasonable doubt. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is why I think Jose Baez took the route that he did by muddying the waters with this completely backwards, different, fundamentally groundbreaking story. I believe, this is me, this is Arden talking, I believe that his aim was to confuse the jury to the point where they didn't know what was true or not. It didn't matter if they were unsure about whether the defense or the prosecution was telling the truth. The aim was to sow doubt in the jury. And that is exactly what he did in defense of this case.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that in mind, I think another really important thing, and I think maybe where the prosecution fumbled a little bit, is going for the death penalty.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, prison time, right?
Right.
That makes things a lot more serious. It makes things a lot more complicated.
It does. Because if you, because there's something to be said there, right, Kyle? Because, like, you could find that someone is guilty of something and not think that they should die, right?
Right.
And that can definitely alter your decision, especially if you're trying to weigh in on something this important.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, folks, a verdict was eventually reached by the jury. And Casey Anthony was found not guilty on pretty much everything. She was found not guilty for murder, aggravated child abuse, and aggravated manslaughter. Dropped. Gone. The only thing that she was found guilty on was for lying to the police. She was guilty of this on 4 separate counts, which resulted in a 1-year sentence and a $1,000 fine for each of those 4 counts. 4 years in prison, $4,000. One count was for about lying about Zanny the nanny. The next was for lying about her job at Universal. The third one was the fake coworkers at Universal. And then the fourth one was for lying about the alleged phone call that Zanny had placed the day that Cindy made the call to report that Kaylee was missing. Because if you remember during that 911 call, she says that I received the call from who has her, but now it's a phone number that's disconnected.
Right.
And despite this being an extremely, and I mean extremely light sentence, I'm so mad. I'm about to start crying. Considering the charges that she was facing, Casey Anthony had the fucking balls to appeal these verdicts. And it fucking worked, Kyle. It worked. Jose Baez got that sentence cut in half from 4 to 2 counts, claiming that they were a bunch of them were pretty much the same lie. Like her job not being at Universal Studios and also the fake co-workers at Universal Studio are the same lie. So they shouldn't be divided into 2 different counts and penalties.
Oh my God.
And it worked. He got her sentence reduced. And at this point, folks, with the appeals, and this is going to piss you off. At the end of all of this, Casey Anthony spent 10 days in jail. 10 days. The reason for this is because up until that point, Casey Anthony had been in police custody for the better part of 2 years. They took this into account when calculating what remained on her sentence, and 10 days was all that was left over.
So they gave her time served?
Correct. What a joke. What a fucking joke, dude.
I need to take a nap.
Watch out for Jose Baez, my friends. Not that he hasn't already come running to the defense of people like Harvey fucking Weinstein. But just in case you need a reminder to look out for this motherfucker, we are not friends. And after 10 days, Casey Anthony was released, and she has been a free woman ever since. Whew. We're going to talk about the aftermath here, Kyle, but I do want to check in on you, my friend. How are you feeling?
I'm just so angry.
I know.
10 days. She got time served.
Unfortunately, yes.
I don't even know what to say. Oh my
God. It's not right.
No. No, it's not.
One interesting thing to note here in the aftermath of Casey Anthony's trial is that it was eventually discovered that Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez was a real person and that she was a babysitter and a nanny, but she wasn't connected to Casey Anthony in any sort of way. No correspondence with Casey Anthony or Kaylee Anthony. There was no record of it because she had her own business, blah, blah, blah. However, due to the bad publicity associated with the name Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez, Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez ended up suing Casey Anthony for $250,000 for damages to her babysitting business.
Damn.
Yeah. The case was eventually thrown out because upon further investigation, it didn't look like it actually affected that much of her business. But I still find this connection interesting, and here's why. Because of something that we've mentioned before. And this is a really, really excellent part of the series, I feel like, where we can talk about this. Casey Anthony, to me at least, and I know that I think I'm 99% sure that Kyle feels the same way. Casey Anthony is a pathological, compulsive liar. Absolutely, 100%, I believe that.
Yeah.
It is, in my mind, completely possible, and even plausible, may I say, that Casey just happened to stumble onto this woman's name and at some point saw that she was a babysitter, looked her up on the internet, looked her up in a phone book. I don't fucking know, but she logged that memory subconsciously. And when the opportunity presented itself, because she is a pathological liar, which means it's automatic, she had a name and she had an alibi ready to go. It just, she's crazy, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I think that absolutely tracks.
And so, like, again, like, real people getting dragged into this because she's lying. It's poor Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez, honestly.
For real.
Now, I'm not just going to have us fucking sit here in like the worst fucking feeling ever, because there's one good thing that comes out of this extremely heartbreaking, terrifying, and unfortunate circumstance. And that is Kaylee's Law. This law, which is a good law, makes it a felony for a parent or a legal guardian to fail to report a missing child, especially in cases where the parent knew or should have known that the child was possibly in danger. I think this is a 10 out of 10 law, honestly. An 11 out of 10, if you ask me.
Yeah.
The idea for this bill originated with protesters who disagreed with the jury's verdict in the Casey Anthony case. The law is named after Kaylee Anthony. Casey Anthony's murder trial set the precedent for Kaylee's Law. One petition at the time, written by Michelle Crowder on change.org, gained nearly 1.3 million electronic signatures to get this law into state legislatures. In response to this petition and other petitions that were going on at the time, lawmakers of several states, including the state of Florida, began drafting versions of Kaylee's Law. And I wish that this list was longer, but as of now, the only states in the United States that have this law in place are Alabama, Connecticut, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, Louisiana, New Jersey, North Carolina, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. Oklahoma and Virginia have presented the bill, but it has not been approved in those states at the time that we are recording this.
Right.
Alabama currently has the longest prison sentence for breaking this law, which is 10 years in prison.
There we go. I like it.
I like it too. As for Casey, almost immediately after her trial, she cut ties and communication with her entire family. And I mean, honestly, how could you fucking look at any of them ever again?
Yeah.
How could any of them look at you ever again? Casey Anthony, as shocking as this may sound, still lives in Florida to this day. She has not been in hiding or shielding herself from the public as much as you think that she might have. She was touted at the time as the most hated woman in America. That was like her subtitle. Jeez. She didn't change anything about her name, her appearance, anything of the sort. Which I will say, I find this to be very, very interesting. Again, what I was saying, I don't understand Casey Anthony at all. I guess the only thing that I could really say about this is, like, if you really are that lost in the sauce, like in your own world or whatever, and you, whether or not you think you're innocent or whether or not you think that you just got away with murder, I feel like the only way I can rationalize this is if she's constantly just like, well, they said I was innocent. They said I was innocent. And that's like her fucking impenetrable armor that she wears. You know what I mean? I don't get it. I feel like I would run away.
Yeah.
especially from the state.
Definitely the same state, if not a different fucking country. Like,
yeah. Oh my God, Kyle. I can't believe it, dude. It doesn't. I wish that the brakes were on at this point, but they're really not.
Not yet.
Something that is absolutely crazy is that after her trial was over, Casey Anthony ended up moving in with the lead defense investigator that was on her case, Patrick McKenna. Moved in with him. She ended up getting a job with him, and she still works for him to this very day, assisting in private investigations. Criminal investigations.
She's a PI.
She's an assistant to a PI.
Okay, so she doesn't technically need to be, like, licensed.
No. No, no.
Okay.
She just works for the guy. And they actually talk about this in the Peacock documentary, too.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear about that.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I know. Casey did, at one point, try to start a photography business after the trial had ended. But that fell on its face pretty fucking quickly, I will say, because becoming a photographer, and this is something that Eleanor Neal had said, and I really, really resonated with this. Like, becoming a photographer is such a personal business, right? Mm-hmm. Like, your clients have to know who you are and work with you individually. And to no surprise to me or to Kyle or to anyone listening to this, but I guess as a surprise to Casey Anthony, that didn't really work out for her. No one wanted to have their fucking pictures taken by Casey motherfucking Anthony in Florida.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Girly.
Girly. Come on. Casey Anthony has made several public appearances over the years, giving interviews and such, with the biggest one in recent history being the documentary that premiered on Peacock, the one that we've been referencing this entire episode, entitled Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies. And we're going to talk about this next week on the podcast. Actually, I guess this is a good point to say this. It's not going to be part four of Casey Anthony, but we are going to watch this documentary that was released on Peacock. And we are going to release that as our episode next week.
Correct.
But can I just say, Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies, it's a pretty fire title, I have to say.
No, they kind of popped off with that one. Yeah.
They really nailed it. Oh my God. And also, guess I'll mention this here. Casey has covered up her Bella Vita tattoo at this point. She no longer has it.
It's interesting.
It's covered now with some fucking other bullshit they tattooed over it.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how any of us feel or what any of us think, this is unfortunately one of the most tragic true crime cases that I personally have ever heard of in my entire life. I think I heard about this story for the first time like 6 or 7 years ago. I wasn't exposed to this when it was happening at the time, like when I was a child. And this is, I mean, a lot of people describe Casey Anthony as our generation's, more specifically Generation X's, OJ. It's this generation's mm-hmm. OJ.
Yeah.
And I see why people say that, if I'm being honest with you. Jose Baez and Casey Anthony very much mirror OJ Simpson and Robert Kardashian in this kind of, it's so obvious, but it's all circumstantial evidence, but the circumstantial evidence is so strong. And then a jury that knows nothing comes into the situation. The story gets fucked with, and then they're let go after doing something just this one-off, just this one time. You can do murder one time if you hire Jose Baez or Robert Kardashian. You know what I mean?
Starting to seem like it.
I totally get it. And even after all of my research that I have done for this show over the past 3 weeks, I still find myself asking the same questions that I mentioned at the beginning of this series in part one. Why? How could this happen this way? How could someone act this way? It is so tragic that this story happened this way. And although that Cayley's Law does exist, and that is the only silver lining that I can offer you in this circumstance, it still disappoints me that it has not been implemented in all of the states in our country. And beyond that, Casey Anthony still walks free and still gets so much attention from this. I was talking to Kyle about this before we started the show today. The thing about the documentary that we're going to watch and talk about next week, it's still just about Casey Anthony. And I know that we just titled our series Casey Anthony, but listen, it's so frustrating that this story continues to revolve around Casey Anthony. And that's why I feel like it's not legislated into every single state. It's because people talk about Casey Anthony and not Kaylee Anthony and not Kaylee's Law and not how much her fucking grandparents loved her. They don't talk about any of that shit. And people permeate this fucking case with all this bullshit and all these conspiracy theories like George and Cindy had something to do with it. I'm sorry. No, they didn't. They did not. Fuck you if you say that, by the way, because they definitely did not. And I'm not yelling at you guys. This is what's so hard about true crime. This is why we took a long time to come back to it. This is why this case was so hard for me to research, is because this is one of those larger than life cases. This is a Ted Bundy. This is an OJ. This is a this is a JFK. This is so overly saturated with so much information and there's so much distortion. And it's just so frustrating that all of the distortion revolves around Casey Anthony. And all of the discussion about this revolves around Casey Anthony. Mm-hmm. I hope that we have done the story justice here on our show and that we've talked about the things that should be talked about and should not be talked about. I just want to remind you folks to please take care of yourselves, because this is one of the hardest cases emotionally to look at. It is definitely one of the hardest cases emotionally that I have ever researched.
Mm-hmm.
And that, my friends, was our series on the death of Kaylee Anthony and the somewhat case study of her mother, Casey Anthony.
Arden. Oh my God. Not to sound like a broken record, I am just so mad.
Yeah. I completely understand.
This case, more than a lot of other true crime, obviously, I'm sad, but I am so angry about so many different things.
Yes.
From this case. I don't think I'm going to surprise anybody that has listened to this series by saying that, as far as a back-assward stance is concerned, Casey Anthony killed Kaylee Anthony, and you will almost assuredly never convince me otherwise. It's, to me, very obvious between how she behaved, how she defended herself, and how she has acted since the trial. It just is so clear to me that that is what happened, and that's why I'm so angry.
I could not agree with you more, Kyle, my friend. I think the thing, one of the things that frustrates me the most about this case is not only Casey Anthony's behavior, but something that I really, really struggle with in this case is something that we talked about at the beginning of part two, which is the fact that Roy Kronk had called in the same piece of evidence to that sheriff's office multiple times. Because the first time that Roy Kronk reported seeing this bag and whatever in the forest was about a month after Kaylee would have gone missing, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not to get too morbid, but we did mention this. Florida is a very hot, very humid climate. So if there are dead body remains in that bag, they're decomposing very fast, very quickly. And this is one of the reasons why Casey Anthony is not in jail, and probably why she did not receive the death penalty as a result of this as well. Because the decomposition on Kaylee Anthony's remains, which we know they were Kaylee Anthony's remains, as damning a piece of evidence as it is, I hate to say this, but it does not actually directly tie Casey Anthony to the death of Kaylee Anthony. And it is because the body is so decomposed. It was a homicide. They did determine that, but they could not determine a cause of death, nor was there any chance for a DNA analysis. They were bones at that point. And they knew that they had decomposed because there was wildlife and maggots and flies around it, right?
Right.
If the police, if the sheriff's office had done their fucking job, I'm just going to say it, dude. This is 2008. Like, come on. Like, we can do better. If the police had done their fucking job, we probably would have figured out who murdered Kaylee Anthony. Because this, and I hate saying this on the show because it is so frustrating. It's just like Susan Powell. It's like, we know who did it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a cold case. Kaylee Anthony's murder is cold. And it will most likely never get solved.
Yeah.
And this is the most heartbreaking aspect of it. And I'm not saying that, you know, this one thing is the most catastrophic thing in this circumstance, because I also have to consider Jose Baez. In this circumstance, who played a very large role in Casey Anthony going free.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot get over how many times Roy Kronk called in and they did not come out.
Yeah. Because if they had gone and found her that first call, you know, there's a good chance the decomposition hadn't been able to progress far enough. They mm-hmm. might have had some actual evidence to go off mm-hmm. of.
And I don't know if you have more to say, Kyle, if I'm, because I'm going to kind of change the subject to something that we've wanted to talk about the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been kind of teasing it. I've said it pretty blatantly. I don't understand Casey Anthony. And this is the thing that I have the hardest time with in the quote unquote case study aspect of Casey Anthony of this series that we're doing. I cannot, for the life of me, because I also think that she murdered Kaylee, but I cannot mm-hmm. for the life of me understand why she arrived at that conclusion. And the biggest reason that I have for having this fundamental misunderstanding is because of something that I mentioned a little bit in this episode. Her support system was incredible.
Yeah.
I do not understand why your rationale is kill Kaylee when you could literally, and I hate to say it this way because this would also fuck up Kaylee for the rest of her life, you could just run away and leave yeah. Kaylee in the hands of her loving grandparents.
Yeah. Would have been just as easy.
I cannot understand how she arrived at that conclusion, because there are so many other avenues she could have taken to get what I think she wanted, which was to not be a 22-year-old mother.
Mm-hmm.
I do buy into that because I can somewhat sympathize and empathize with feeling like you can't do the things that you want to do because you have such a big responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm so sorry if this is way too dark to talk about, but like, if I'm going to step into that perspective for a second,
yeah,
you can, there are so many other ways to achieve that. Do you really think that the people around you won't understand that you're 22 years old and you want to go out to a bar a couple times? And yeah, even if they don't, again, run away with Tony Lazzaro and leave Casey with her grandparents. I don't get it. I don't understand.
No.
It's so frustrating.
There's just so many other options that make so much more sense.
Casey Anthony killed Kaylee Anthony and then dumped her remains like a dumbass 10 minutes away from her parents' fucking house. And the reason why this turned out the way that it did is because of Casey Anthony being a pathological liar, and I think Jose Baez also being a freako liar.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening to the podcast, everybody.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry I bummed you out for 3 weeks. We're gonna talk about the documentary, and then we're gonna come back with something really fun, actually, if I'm remembering correctly.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I need to see it. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. Yo, don't worry.
We're coming back with something pretty.
It might be a little difficult to talk about. But thank you so much. It really does mean a lot to be able to do content like this and to have an outlet like this to talk about these stories the way that we want to talk about them. And again, I hope that we did a service in telling this story, if not just to spread the information and discuss how we feel. Thank you very much. It means a lot that you're here.
Yeah, it really means the world. The chance and the platform to tell these stories is something that is really important to me, and I know it's also really important to Arden, and we're just glad you guys are on the ride with us. So thank you so much. You can subscribe and review if you are enjoying the show, and if you think someone else will enjoy the show, please share it with them.
Because word of mouth is the best way to spread that the Backassards podcast has brought true crime back, and you know that we try our best, and that the Backassards podcast is your favorite podcast.
You can listen to our previous episodes for more. I would recommend our episode on another one of Arden's episodes. I'm going to recommend the Loveland Frogmen.
Whoa, the Loveland Frogmen. Yes, I will say that that is a very different... that episode has a different feel to the last three that we just did.
Little bit of a palate cleanse with that one, for sure.
It's a much lighter topic. And so if you don't have a physical lollipop that you are a sweet treat to munch on after listening to this series, I would say that the Loveland Frogmen would be a great substitute for you.
For sure. You can follow me and Arden on Twitter. I am at BackassWordKyle. Arden is at Arden_Smith. And you can follow the podcast on all of your favorite social medias. On Twitter at BackassWordsPod, Instagram BackassWordsPod, TikTok BackassPod, and on Facebook, search the BackassWords Podcast. And if you guys are really enjoying the content that we're putting out, go ahead and join us over on Patreon. We have our $1 tier just to throw us a couple of bucks and also get a shout out on the main show. Or if you would really, really like to, you can support us at $5 a month and you also get access to the shout out, to the Discord, and also to our weekly bonus episode, The Wednesday Phenomenon.
The Wednesday Phenomenon. It's so much fun.
We have a ton of fun over there. Help us out. Help us keep the lights on. I'm Kyle.
I'm Arden.
And we will for sure see you guys next week. Stay safe.
Stay weird. The danger is real.
Oh! Oh! Oh my God!
Riley's!
Oh! God! This stretch feels so nice.
Oh, dude.
Wow. You know when it just, like, hits the spot? Wow.
You get, like, stuck in it for a second.
Ooh. I just experienced that. My God.
Get that little head rush from it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep. I just got through with that part.
Love that shit, dude.
Scar.